Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today we're pleased to have back Stephen Lewis, who is going to be talking about the AIM program. Stephen's been with us several times before, and it's always fascinating to talk to Stephen because it's education and consciousness, and I'm anxious to see what they've found with the program since our last interview. Welcome, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Susan.
So, how long has it been since you've been on the show? Do you remember?
Oh, my God, no, I don't. Because
it's probably about a year.
It's okay. I accept that.
okay.
I do so many programs that I can't remember. I remember you, but not the exact time framework.
Sure, sure. Well, since our listeners may not know what your program is about, why don't you start by introducing yourself and tell them what the program does.
What the program does is help you heal whatever you need to heal, and that is you specifically. When it's helping you, Susan, it's helping you, Susan, heal what you need to heal. But whoever it is, each person is different. It does not matter. If you are on the program, we will help you heal whatever it is you need to heal. And healing is totally different than treating. We don't treat anyone or anything. And we help you heal because only you can heal yourself. Now, you're a physician. You can treat people. In my work, I can't heal anyone but me, but I can help people heal themselves. We do that with a holographic technology. I believe a holographic spiritual technology. And I think that's about enough for me to have an answer for a two-word question.
Okay. Well, you want to explain a little bit about the principles on which this is based and how you came to discover it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is really the, I believe, the culmination of a lot of people's work. I stand on the shoulders of so many giants, commencing with Albert Einstein and through Niels Bohr, David Bohm, just all my betters. And we use your hologram to compel you really to focus on whatever you need to heal. Now, you choose what you need. With your hologram, when you are choosing, from an array of imbalances, which is everything known to mankind, and maybe a couple of thousand at least not known to mankind. And if anything pertains to you, and that, for example, you will never choose a problem with your prostate, nor I my ovaries, but if you had to choose something about your ovaries, you would know it. You would focus on exactly what that problem is, and you would continue to focus and focus and never cease that focus until you have healed it, because anything can be healed. It takes focus and attention, and we stop you from ever taking a break, frankly. And that sounds primitive and simple, and it is, but it is the essence of healing, and you can heal absolutely anything.
And this is based on theories of frequency medicine. In other words,
well,
frequency...
yeah, well, yes, in physics, I mean, everything's a frequency. All of life is one frequency or another. Now, we use frequencies in, and this is the one of just a couple of little areas where I've contributed to the field, in units of consciousness. Now, consciousness can be measured. That was my contention, and that was my particular aim and my belief. And it took me about some 20 years before I, well, I won't say I figured it out, but I think I had some kindly essence or whatever it may be, just take pity on me and let me know how to do it. And once I began to figure out frequencies of everything and anything, because it is an algorithmic process, I could then determine what frequencies would balance that. It's not very different than when you're flying in the air and you're wearing headphones. You have a balancing frequency that will balance out that noise that you hear. You're familiar with that, right?
Right.
Right. So it's akin to that. And in so doing, you will remove any imbalance in balancing these imbalances, which, as you said and I agreed, are frequencies in consciousness. So I think the important thing to understand is, both in the world of spirituality and in the world of quantum mechanics, consciousness is where you create your life, for better or for worse. Your DNA, your body, just tags along. Now, these things have been shown many times and experimentally, and I believe it. I think it's pretty well accepted in physics that consciousness creates your life, for better or for worse. And that's the good news and the bad news. If you create negative things with your life, well, you've done so yourself. But the good news is, it means if you don't like what's happening, you can create something else. You can change that which you've created. Now, that's in fundamentally, Susan, that's a definition of healing, to replace negative frequencies with positive frequencies, and in so doing, remove those negative frequencies or imbalances, because everything has a frequency, whether it's well-being, happiness, bliss, orgasmic behavior, or cancer. Everything in life has a frequency and can be measured. Mm-hmm. And the object is to change those frequencies which you do not wish. And that can be done. And, you know, it's not, the funny thing is, it's not just what is this thing called healing. It's my views are beyond the lunatic fringe in that sense. I don't believe the contemporary views of what needs to be healed are relevant. I believe totally differently from the mainstream medical perspective. And but that's not important. What's important is there is nothing in the world you cannot heal.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that can't be treated with our current technology. And that's acknowledged. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not something that's radical as a statement, but there is no limitation on healing. I mean, there are the testimonials to that effect can be seen at any level, whether it's a supermarket that says it's a miracle, or the New England Journal that speaks about an utterly inexplicable spontaneous remission. You know, right. the language varies, but the concept is the same. There is limitation.
Yeah, we like to let people try to understand it with telling them that the majority of medicine right now is based on biochemistry and physical medicine, and that more and more doctors are kind of going toward biophysics, which is more on physics and electromagnetics, but that really what I think what you're doing is based on even beyond that. It's interdimensional or multidimensional.
But it's not beyond that, really, because it's just utilizing that and implementing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just out of the realm of theory.
Yeah, but when you start doing multidimensional medicine, which, or you can't call it medicine, but I call it medicine.
That's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, you know, healing, multidimensional healing is something that takes account of not just frequencies that are in the third dimension only, but also frequencies that have maybe transversed other dimensions. And you can get real dramatic healings. Like the one that I like to tell people about is spontaneous remission. Yeah, that's an example of a multidimensional healing that is very sudden, very definitely involving biophysics, because you feel this energy come from your head to your toe, and then all the cancer is gone. So, you know, that's an example of a multidimensional healing technique that's definitely outside of biochemistry. So I want people to understand that we know that these things exist. There's 100 reports of spontaneous remission in the Noetic Science book, and probably other since that book's been written. I think it was written about 10 years ago. There's probably a lot more. So I'm trying to orient the audience that we know that there's healing outside of biochemistry based healing.
So. Oh well, you see, once again, I don't think biochemistry offers healing. I am definitely not a detractor of medicine. I mean, I think that what medicine does is help people survive while they are hopefully healing themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. For example, suppose, you know, you have something destroying your erythrocytes and your red blood cells, and while you are fighting, while you are trying to overcome this imbalance, call it what you will, a type of mm-hmm. leukemia or whatever it may be, or, you know, some hemorrhagic disease. While you are trying to overcome this, your body needs to be helped along the way. And so perhaps a given drug or perhaps transfusions or whatever are helping your patient. But mm-hmm. ultimately, your patient will heal or not heal himself because he does or does not do it. That's the distinction. That's why there are people for whom who have a grave, grave prognosis, and a year later they're playing tennis, and others go in to have a wart removed, and it ends up, they end up being, they transition. And every mm-hmm. physician is aware of these things at both ends of the extreme. And mm-hmm. it's the patient's capacity to heal that is the distinction. Are we there? Okay.
Yeah, no, that's true. So yeah. Do you have some contact information you can provide about the program?
Oh, yeah. I think the best information is the website, which is mm-hmm. aimprogram.com. Just one word, okay. aimprogram.com. But there's a toll-free number, and that is 877-500-3622. And, mm-hmm. and if you want any information sent to you, they'll send it. No one's going to try and sell you anything. It's just healing is not something that can be sold. And mm-hmm. it's not. It certainly is something that should not be sold. It should be, you know, you right now in your work, you're a physician, but right now you're functioning as a messenger, and you are getting a message out. What people do with that message is up to them, mm-hmm. and the important thing is to get the word out, and then people must make their own decision. Mm-hmm. Just as, you know, I mean, if someone's talking about chemotherapy, a patient must say, yes, I want it, or no, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the case for any of these modalities. If I tell people about something, I say, yes, you just said, how can we find out more about it? And I'll tell you, okay, here's the website, phone number. But ultimately, people must choose to do so. I say that because I would have expected by this time to have millions on the AIM program, and I don't. Well, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. They're about 60,000 or so, which is nothing.
Right.
I mean, that's just
it may be that people are specifically guided to it, especially when nothing else is going to work, you see. The AIM problem will work for a lot of things, but like, for example, some of the more dangerous frequency, like the prion stuff, I don't think anything else works but things like the AIM program, do you see? So there could be some very specific guidance going on.
Well, you know, without getting into prions or prions, just well-known imbalances, theoretically most people die from either heart disease or cancer or any of the well-known, well-documented imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because they're well-known and well-documented, Susan, does not make them any less dire or dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case. I mean, you know, I mean, medically, look, in studies, huge numbers of physicians said that if they had to do so, they would elect not to take chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
which is understandable. I mean, you know,
yeah.
it's a choice to be made,
mm-hmm.
and they're more knowledgeable than their patients are, one would hope. I mean, you know,
sure.
by definition. So, I think that we have reached a point in time where that irrespective of the type of imbalance, the type of disease frequency, we mm-hmm. must turn back to our own empowerment, our capacity to heal. Now, this does not mean turn away from medicine or physicians.
Mm-hmm.
It means that healing must be perceived as ultimately what must be done, and anyone who can do anything to help a patient or a person, call it what you want, accomplish that healing is someone there for that patient's well-being. And whatever works and whatever is effective is a good thing, without any kind of extreme discrimination about, well, this is not this and this is not that, et cetera.
Right.
I think we've reached that point. And I think that we have no recourse but to turn back to healing, because healing is, and this is truly turning back, because it is not new. It really is not. But it is remembering that we can heal ourselves and understanding that we need help, and understanding further, even more than that, that every single person in the universe is capable of helping each and every one of us. And that is fundamentally the holographic principle. And whether it's stated by Buddha or Christ, or whether it's stated by Niels Bohr or David Bohm, we are all connected to each other. We are all part of a wave. And if by virtue of our focus we become particulate, we become a particle, we are still nonetheless still part of a wave that encompasses everything and everyone in our universe. And all parts of that wave are capable of helping us heal ourselves. And in fact, I would say that those who have the ultimate consciousness, those we call quantumly conscious, mm-hmm. who are capable of perceiving that they are connected to everything and everyone. And obviously, these are the great spiritual leaders in our history. These mm-hmm. people, I would say, could probably help you in your healing yourself more than anyone else, because they bring the entire universe with them. They perceive it, and therefore they include it. And I think that's my perspective of what others call either the miraculous or mumbo jumbo or whatever you want to call it, or new age tree hugging. I don't, you know, it goes by a lot of names, as we both know. But you're right. It is the pattern is changing into a more physics based paradigm as opposed to biochemistry. But that's what's happened in science, you know. I mean, Newtonian physics has not given way to quantum mechanics, because no one is out there saying gravity doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
I mean, if I drop an apple from a tree, I know which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's not that it's changed. It's that there's more to it than that. And that is the quantum mechanics. And quantum mechanics is spirituality and is consciousness, as far as I'm concerned. That is the link. That's what obliterated the distinction, if you will, between science and spirituality, between town and gown. You know that old classic distinction? It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
I was watching Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman the other day, and it was a very interesting show on the relationship of the third and the fourth dimensions. And basically it says that the third and the fourth dimensions, the evidence so far in physics is that they're opposed, you know, like opposing each other. And what I think is going to happen is that the relationship between the third and the fourth dimension is shifting right now. And as it shifts, we're going to find a couple of things. We're going to find that people create more quickly, so that if you have blockages and are creating the blockage, that it might create at a faster rate and cause a problem sooner. It is very possible, as the relationship evolves between the third and the fourth dimension, that fifth dimensional energy can come in a lot easier, and that would be the energy seen in spontaneous remissions. And so the healing that occurs when blockages are removed could occur much quicker. And I think that we're going to start to see a lot of different things show up in the third dimension that maybe we didn't have in the third dimension before.
Well, I think we'll perceive them, whereas
right.
we did not perceive them before.
Right, we couldn't perceive them. We didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear.
Well, that's,
and then they're going to be right in our face.
Yeah, that's what you and I are. That's why we're here, Susan. You know, because it's not like instruction at any level. It's about a discussion. So, what is happening,
right. And
why is it happening? Because I take the perspective of physics that nothing happens without a reason. And if you don't know the reason, it's utterly unhealthy to say there's no reason. It's fine to say, I don't know the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the cardinal rules that will be changing. There's no reason for this. We'll cease to exist. Of course, there's a reason. You know, spontaneous remission has a reason. Everything has a cause.
Right.
Each cause has its effect. You know,
and
it's
you're not going to find that, though, if you're limiting your perception to the third dimension.
That is correct. That is correct. But it's just
you
like,
have to
you know,
go multidimensional to understand that, including multidimensional physics, which is why I was so interested that through the wormhole, they actually are beginning to understand how the third and the fourth dimensions are related. You know, how does matter relate to dark matter? How does energy relate to dark energy? Isn't that interesting? We're really discovering it. The fourth dimension is right there.
You know, we discover stuff when we have to. Things happen.
Right.
Miracles occur as they are needed.
Right.
And so that is the causal nature of that, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have no choice. and that's it. But, you know, when I do an evaluation and say, let's see what imbalances you have, I barely even look at what imbalances people have as acquired imbalances, mm-hmm. because they're almost not relevant to me. I look to see what imbalances exist hereditarily. But then there's a third classification that is not acquired and not inherited, but essentially is there by virtue of some other means. And for want of any other term, I can call it, well, call it past life, call it karmic. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, it's there in you, and without, and then, and it doesn't matter in another sense, because whether you inherited it from mom or dad, or whether you brought yourself to mom and dad to use that for a purpose, as long as you can heal it, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the average, when I measure life force, and I can do it on a scale of 0 to 100 or 0 to 1,000 or whatever, there was a time when the average life force of a child being born in this country, as I measured it in units of consciousness, was between 95 and 99, the scale of 100. Mm-hmm. The average life force now of a kid being born is somewhere between 40 and 50. That's an extraordinary statement. But now couple that with the fact that we've got a whole bunch of kids who've been born to parents on the AIM program who have finished detoxing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids have a life force of 100 on a scale of 100, 1,000 on a scale of 1,000. These kids have no hereditary imbalances without regard to where they came from past lives or mom, dad. They have nothing they brought to the table. And I believe that what you bring with you, call it karmic, call it hereditary, is mm-hmm. what is ultimately your demise, unless you heal it, mm-hmm. and it can be healed. So now the question becomes, so now what's going to happen with these kids? I hope I'm around long enough to perceive it, because I am a card-carrying geriatric, obviously. So.
All right.
Well, I am. I've been at this a long time, a lot of years.
So the we deal with just not what we've been exposed to, but what our parents have been exposed to.
No, that's not news. I mean, I think it's axiomatic medically that diseases run in families.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote an article about it. I mean, it's very simple. Look, if you apply for life insurance, you're going to have a whole bunch of professional bookies evaluating whether you will or will not be insured, and if you are, how much it's going to cost you. Now, they don't call them bookies. They call them actuaries.
Right.
But that's what they are. They say, hey, you know, and the questions are relevant. They're not curious folks. Is there any heart disease in your family? Either parent have it, either parent have cancer, either parent have this mm-hmm. Or that, et cetera. The higher the value of the policy, the more questions there are. And there's an examination, mm-hmm. et cetera. And so things run in families. But that doesn't change the fact that whether you acquired something having a good time at a party, or whether you inherited it and brought it with you as a neonate, it doesn't change the fact that you can heal it. And when you heal something, it is gone. It's not spontaneous as I know it, or because I'm sure not Jesus Christ or Buddha. It's not spontaneous, and it's not remission, because it's gone. Remission.
So when you
sell something,
I'm sorry,
other
go
than
ahead.
Gone. No, I just remission is not the same as gone.
Mm-hmm. Right. It can come back, like cancer. Cancer goes into remission, but it can come back.
Yeah, but if it's gone, if you no longer have that frequency within you,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to have, even if you're a born again Christian, it ain't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
I'm sorry.
I think it's, you know, it's obviously something that's very useful when you get the disease, but I think the AIM program is very useful to prevent you from getting the disease too, because the frequency shows up first that in the field before the disease actually manifests.
Well, you know, right now, to me, in a way, this is a somatic thing, because when do you get a disease? Forget about getting chickenpox. You know when you get it. Let's say you know a few days later, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the stuff that we're concerned about, like heart disease, like cancer, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things you care. You don't care about chickenpox. You get it, you get better, goodbye. As far as these things are concerned, I would say people have these things as active diseases for many, 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 many years. And so when they are dealt with by healing, and I mean by healing, whether it's with the AIM program or whatever else you may use to help you heal, because nobody's going to sit around and say, I invented healing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you deal with something by way of healing, you are getting rid of something active, and it's preventative in the sense that the real bugaboo, the real problem is when these things that you have, what you would call in potential, that are there, that are hereditary, get stronger and stronger until they are strong enough to take over, and that's when they are found in examination. Now, granted, the genotype may give us a clearer vision. That's its value, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I said to me, you see, if you have, you may have cancer for 30, 40 years. It's when it takes over, is found, and all kinds of dire prognoses are offered, and all kinds of equally dire treatments are offered, and on and on and on. But it's been active. It just has not manifested to that extent. It's kind of like, you know, that continuum of, say, type 2 diabetes, you know. You spend a lot of years saying, I'd like another cookie or whatever, before finally someone tells you, you've become diabetic.
Right.
So you know when they told you, but when did it happen? The first time you wanted more cookies than you should or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or if you have different taste, an extra couple of shots of booze, because, you know, it's still sugar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting, isn't it? And we live
that
in the
is.
Whole... It's so fascinating, and there is nothing more incredible as a field than the field of healing, because healing entails spirituality and consciousness and brings into play the entire universe. And that's why I said to begin with, you know, it brings into play the fact that we are connected to everyone. So all these people trying to be singular and unique in that sense, like, man, there's nobody chosen. Everybody's chosen. The question is, who chooses?
So if people want to find out more about the AIM program, let's see, I'm at aimprogram.com. Is that a good website to
That's the website. aimprogram.com,
okay.
And that number again is, it's a toll-free number, 877-500-3622. But
right.
I've written a lot of articles on this stuff, and they're all on aimprogram.com.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to learn more about how it came into being, they can read Sanctuary. That's a novel that I read at one point.
Yeah, and, Sanctuary, the Path to Consciousness by me, Stephen Lewis, and a colleague, Evan Slauson. And yeah, that's, God, that was written back. It seems like a previous lifetime, Susan. You know,
right. It's like, well, it's an interesting book.
Well, I'm not a prolific writer, but I work every day finding different frequencies. I mean, I have found, since you and I have spoken, I've found several hereditary imbalances that fundamentally everyone has, that what they do fundamentally is cause a shearing off of telomeres. Well, now, whoa, now we're talking about taking a hike in Ponce de Leon country.
Right.
You see what I mean? And these imbalances I didn't know of until, X number of months ago. And now everybody currently on AIM has gotten rid of them. Does that mean they will no longer shear off their telomeres, which is probably the medically accepted phenomenon that's characteristic of aging reproduction of tissue? Once there are no more telomeres, you can't reproduce, theoretically. Well, or is that erroneous? Does this not just deal with getting with shearing them off, but does it stop you from making new telomeres? Is this a radical change in that? It remains to be seen, because you're only going to really know by observation. And we can theorize anywhere we want. Mm-hmm. But that's all well and good, and it's interesting and fun. And, you know, I'd like to keep doing it, and I'll have another glass of wine with that. Thank you very much. But the bottom line is going to be, let's look and see. Let's look and see. What's it going to be like for these kids who are born with no fundamental, no weaknesses, no hereditary imbalances, no pattern, no template for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, MS, blah, blah, blah? That's what we're dealing with now. Now, I think that's just that. If I'm right, this becomes one of the most, maybe the most valuable technology in the world.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm just a gibbering idiot. Well, you know what? I've been called a genius and an idiot by more than one person for each of them. So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at your paper, Don't Shoot the Messenger, a review of life force evaluations from 1995 to 2009.
I forget what I said. What did I say?
You're saying that you were measuring things in 95 by the units of consciousness, you know, that you use.
Yes.
And let's see what your conclusion is here. In 1997, you observed an energetic event in one person, which shortly became a trend in others, and before long, a ubiquitous paradigm in almost everyone.
Well, in our Western civilized world, yes. Not globally, but there's a distinction there, and that's a whole different story.
And then in 2002, the life force of most adults had started to drop and continued to drop, whereas animals still measured pretty high. And then the final plunge would occur in the fall of 2008.
The final plunge? You know, for now...
Well, possibly final plunge. Possibly. Possibly.
Obviously not. You know, and if I said that, well, that's just one of the times I've been wrong.
It's as of 11/09, it's still dropping.
Yeah. You know, there's a question of we can use something numerical, and it gets lower and lower and lower.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A real zero is very easily determined. They don't blink, right?
They're not there.
And, and you put a mirror in front of it, the mirror don't fog. How's
right.
that?
Right.
That's a real zero. And and that is the, you know, it's like that old story, Susan, where someone's dropping, jumps out off a 100-story building. And as they pass each floor, they say, so far, so good.
Right. It's only the last 2 feet.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the fall that gets you. It's a sudden stop.
Right.
And when does so far, so good become splat? And that's what we're looking to see, if that's the case. If what I'm saying is indeed the case. I think it is. And I think, as I said then, before then, and still, what happens from this drop in life force, very simply, is what is called an immune deficiency. And what is the characteristic of an immune deficiency as I see it? As I see it, it accelerates the activity of what is hereditary. And I think
that's why
you're seeing all these kids with type 2 diabetes. I mean, let's face it. Who were they to have type 2 diabetes? They never had a glass of wine, never had. I mean, they haven't even earned it.
Yep.
They're kids. They should be.
To blame it on the diet and lack of activity, which I think there is some of that. But I think the things that we really have to look at are the effect of the chemtrails on our immune system. We interviewed Michael Murray the other day on why in the world are they spraying. We have to look at the environmental toxins that we have. I actually think the plastics might be playing a big role. We have so many plastics in our environment that probably get into our food and into us that they may really cause endocrine disturbances, including your cortisol high, and then therefore predisposing you to diabetes.
Absolutely so, and I find in my work I find very, very high levels of the frequency of cortisol often.
Yeah.
However, to me, all these things you're pointing at are indeed a problem. They're a major problem because we are all majorly nuts. I mean, this is the only place where we can live.
Right.
And
it's not very safe here.
Well, no, and it calls into question just this concept of progress, you know, and the progress involved in technology. If it is not progress, if it does not enhance the quality of life, it's that simple. If it renders the water undrinkable and so on and so on and so on, it renders the fish inedible and so on, then whatever it is a criminal activity and should be treated as such and not rewarded and not called progress. But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, all these things are true and valid and real, and I feel very strongly about them. But the primary thing I believe, is the effect of biological warfare, and specifically the effect of biological warfare in creating an acquired immune deficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing that too. The intracellular spirochetes, the intracellular mycoplasma. I wanted to ask, are you seeing anything on your frequency analysis on radiation increasing, especially in California?
Yeah, I'm asked that all the time, and particularly in the light of the meltdown in Japan.
Right, right.
And
you should be able to see that.
Well,
it should show up.
Well, it does not. Look, here's the problem, Susan. If there is no one on the planet who doesn't show some level of radiation.
Mm-hmm. But is it increasing?
Is it a toxic level?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it a toxic level? And I am not finding it anywhere in California or Oregon or Washington. And so the answer is no. I have found it. We've got a bunch of people who are on the AIM program in Japan also, and some of them I have found that. But it has
That's
not.
That's good to hear. Reached. It's not toxic
yeah,
in California.
I have,
That's great to hear.
You know, and I'm, you know, I am not someone who's out there saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's all fine. It's not all fine. It's all garbage, but I am not seeing radiation at a toxic level in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I have found toxic levels of radiation in different places in the U.S., but they're nothing to do with that meltdown. I have found it in people in Nevada. I have found it in some other places.
Yeah, well,
where
the fallout was from our testing.
Well, there and, yeah, and the open strip mined uranium and all that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And plutonium. Sure. So I can find a toxic level if I need to, but as I said, not from this this meltdown. But
that's
good. Boy, you know, it's just but you know, that one about progress and technology is a very big thing for me. You know, I mean, there's almost no end to that. But I shouldn't hog the mic. What else? What else can I tell you, right or wrong? Go ahead.
Well, I guess we're coming up to the end of the hour, so I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, to outline the program again, give contact information, and tell people, you know, how you can help them.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Susan. What we do is we use your hologram. Now, anything unique to you is you holographically. It could be a lock of your hair. It could be a drop of your blood. And they truly contain your DNA. But DNA is not relevant in that sense, because healing is by virtue of intention. And anything unique to you, whether it does or does not contain your DNA, is you holographically. We use photographs because, you know, I could collect 60,000 little tubes of urine or blood or whatever, but that would be kind of sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from which, you can't recognize them. They all look the same.
Right.
But your photograph, I can recognize. I can look at you and say, there's this very attractive, pleasant woman, Susan. It doesn't look a bit like me. I can see it right away. So we use that, and it's absolutely the same as no better and no worse than something with DNA. And we put these holograms on a large series of metal plates attached to a massive bank of computers that are generating balancing frequencies in units of consciousness. And they are coupled with something that we've named Rosetta frequencies, which simply translate. And that's why they're called Rosetta frequencies. And whatever balancing frequency you need, you will know. Now, I can't look at your picture because I'm not prescient and say, Susan still needs this or that. However, you know what you need. And you still need some things. I can tell because I looked at you the other day. And you know what you need. You will select whatever balancing frequencies you need and continue selecting whatever it is. If you're brand new to the program, first you will select those things that are the most recent, whatever you acquired today or yesterday, going back to whatever you acquired 10 years ago, whatever is chronic, and then you will select whatever is hereditary. And until there is nothing left to select, until every imbalance has been focused upon by you without cessation until you have healed it. And that's what the AIM program is. And that's what we do. It does not matter where you are. It does not matter if you are in the U.S. or you're in Tibet or anywhere else, because there is no space or time energetically. That is your frequency. you are part of that wave. You are connected to us and to each other and to everything. And that is where quantum physics comes in and says, yes, amen, brother, to Buddha when he said, talk about being in the oneness. Mm-hmm. Or to Christ when he said, what you do to the least of mine, you do to me. And it's always been the same. And I can't begin to point at all the shoulders I stand on, massive shoulders. But I don't have to. It doesn't matter. This is now. And that's what we do, Susan, and as you know.
Yeah.
And you should be back on the program, and with your permission, I will facilitate that commencing tomorrow morning.
Well, I would appreciate it. That would be great. I wanted to tell the listeners that Dr. Wayne Dyer was the person that brought me together with Stephen. Originally, I was interviewing Wayne here on my TV show years ago, and he's the one that introduced me to Sanctuary and Stephen. So a lot of people who understand consciousness have recognized what Stephen's doing, which is quite a unique and interesting program.
Well, you know, Wayne, I don't know how much time you've got, but just a quick story about Wayne. He's responsible in his way for what we've done with our autism program. You're familiar with that, I think.
Right, yeah.
Anyone who has a frequency of autism, if we find that frequency, there's no charge for them being on the program. It's a message that I got, and that was it. But so when Wayne called me up, Wayne has added to the spiritual value of our country. He doesn't have a church with a pulpit or anything. Doesn't matter. Wayne has influenced many, many people for positively. And so people like that, I've said, look, if you see someone who needs this, which is really everyone, and they can't afford it, it's inexpensive, but that's relative. Just give them a Wayne Dyer scholarship for whatever it is. It's your choice. And so he called me one day and said, well, I met this beautiful child who has no affect. And he said, what is this autism thing? I said, well, I don't know much about it, but let me look. So I looked at a picture of this child, and I found several frequencies that were not in the database. So I named them after her and put them on, and that was the end of it. Until about 6 months later, her mom called and said, you know that our daughter, her caregivers say she's no longer autistic. She doesn't act it. I went, well, great. Great, that's good. And then I didn't think about it, and suddenly it was like that was its own wave, because apparently we had hundreds of kids who were autistic on the program. I had no idea. Right. And they were all starting to change.
Yeah.
And it culminated in Australia when I had a question and answer period, and a little girl said, can I thank you? Well, hell yeah. I mean, I like being thanked. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Right.
I'm not an idiot. And I said, sure, but for what? She said, well, I couldn't have thanked you a year ago. I couldn't possibly. I was autistic. Now I'm not.
Right.
All right, that's it. That is the message
of
the
moment.
A great
program.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us. That was great. You wanted to say something else about Wayne?
No, that's it. Thank you for having me on again. Anytime you want to have me on your program, Susan, we're messengers. We're in this together.
We are. Yes.
I know. And anytime you want to talk, whether it's on the radio or not, feel free.
Well, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate it. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. We've had Stephen Lewis back on the show talking about the AIM program. I think this is a cutting-edge energetic balancing program that anybody can benefit from. Next week, join us for Nick Redfern. Keep out top secret places governments don't want you to know about. I'll try to figure out how that's related to health in a little bit. And then we're talking about visionary shamanism, activating the cells of the human energy field on the 30th. We also have Noetic Science on the 21st at the Dunwoody office. John Turner will be presenting neurology-based information at that meeting. And at the Millennium Healthcare event, Dr. Mike Greenberg will be talking about the five keys to permanent weight loss, 7:30 at the Dunwoody office on the 26th. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us, and I hope to have you back on soon.
Anytime. Thank you, Susan.
Okay. Join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.